Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here we go. This is our third mini episode. This time we're focusing on GoldenEye 64.
For N64.
Yeah, that's the music right there. And now it's off.
Smooth fade out.
Yeah. And, oh, I'll fix
and
it.
And no more music.
Actually, got one of those opening the folder sounds.
Welcome to Bondcast, James Bondcast. I'm Matt McGregor. As always, I'm joined by Harris McCabe. Harris, how's it going?
Hi.
And Colin Shaw.
Hello.
We have a special guest engineer today with us, Chris Gill. What's going on, Gill man?
You know, not much. Just glad to be here with you guys.
That's the spirit.
He's talking a lot for an engineer. I don't know.
Yeah, that's enough out of you.
They usually don't say that much in the entire podcast.
He's quite friendly, too friendly, if you ask me.
But he has to keep the engine running because he is an engineer.
Yes.
That's a stretch.
Where's the engine room?
He is the engine room. He's a one-man engine room.
He's a man room?
Yeah. I think we're getting off topic.
This is all getting cut. The three of us got together and we played GoldenEye for the first time in, what, 20 years or something like that?
Probably. Yeah, it's been a good long time.
We tried to get the full the depth of the game by playing every level. We played a little bit of the campaign, the multiplayer. We tried to implement some of the cheat codes. What were some of the highlights, or like, how do you guys? Well, first of all, what's our history with this game? Are we all? We're all somewhat the same age. I mean, came out in 1997. Oddly enough, it came out 2 years after the movie was released.
Yeah,
right before the next Bond movie was to come out, and no one thought this game was going to be a hit, and it's now regarded as like one of the greatest video games ever made.
I wasn't here for the Wikipedia exploration earlier, so I didn't know. Is that a fact that nobody thought the game was going to be a hit? Because I know from my perspective, I was in high school, and that was the N64 itself was only not that old at that point.
I think it came out in '96. I want to say.
Yeah, and I know that was the big thing. Was everyone loved those multiplayer games because you'd get a bunch of people down in your basement and you'd play, you know, sports games, or obviously Mario Kart was a big one, and this was instantly like the must-have, must-play. I think this and Mario Kart were, anytime you had a bunch of people in somebody's house for any length of time, people were going to fire this up, and then it was just going to be taking turns to see who got to play.
I definitely think it was word of mouth that it became must-play, though. I remember it being like, oh, that's available, and I liked the movie, and Bond is cool, but I thought N64 was more for these other games, and then immediately, you know, the next day, it's like someone's like, have you played GoldenEye yet?
Me and my brothers probably just bought everything that came out anyways. We were big into the Nintendo at that point. But
Nintendo ballin'.
Was it the first game to utilize the split screen four ways? I know Mario Kart
I
does
don't
it too.
Think so. Star Fox does it. But Star Fox was after or before?
It's got to be after, I'm going to guess. Well, there was Star Fox like for Super Nintendo, but that was only a two-way split.
I think
because Nintendo 64 was the first console to have four players, for sure, right?
Yes.
Other than, like, an arcade, that was the first time you could do that.
Star Fox 64 came out in 97.
So it was the same time.
Same time. I think they probably all came out around the same time because that was sort of, they were all pushing those,
but
the new game system.
Was it the second leading seller or the third leading seller of all games behind Mario 64, which it was like the first game that you could buy, basically. Yeah.
And that was like groundbreaking
Mario Kart 64 also, I think, was available on launch. It definitely came out in 96.
Right.
Those are the only two that outsold it.
Right.
The only two of all the N64 games.
Yeah, which is surprising because you think there's a few other, like Madden obviously was super popular. And there's a bunch of other games that.
But you got to get a new one every year for Madden.
Well, I guess if you want to let EA win.
I mean, just to get into the game, so, you know, there's the campaign mode and the multiplayer mode. In multiplayer, you have the opportunity to play as several different characters. They're all from the movie GoldenEye. I do remember, as a kid, unlocking secret characters you could play as, like, Jaws and Who else? Mayday?
Baron Samedi.
Baron Samedi, Odd Mayday, Job. Odd Job. Yep. All the classics, all our classic favorites.
I don't think Mayday was not one.
Was she not? Was she?
I don't remember. I know I never played with her.
I don't think Mayday was.
I would be curious which ones are in there, like, because I bet there were some in there.
Male scientists.
Yeah, well, they had a lot of like that kind of stuff. They had all the background characters from the campaign mode of the GoldenEye game. You could play as any of them.
Yeah.
That we tried this cheat code 100 times. We looked it up on 2 different sites. We just could not get it to unlock.
We did a lot of other ones. We played paintball mode.
Paintball mode.
Yeah. Donkey Kong mode.
Yeah, the big heads.
Mm-hmm.
We unlocked all guns, all and then the guns. We went through the campaign, and I shot a bunch of people with rockets.
Dual-wielding the machine guns.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the cooler like parts of the game is that the array of weapons that you have to choose from, there's so many. There's like, it's not just like, you know, 5 or 6.
I totally forgot how many guns were in this game. And also, I forgot how...
Dual-wield we did.
Yeah, the dual-wield is fun. I forgot how little I actually read the words, because as I was reading the names of the guns, I was like, this is not what we called it. Like the little...
Oh, yeah. Everyone had their own nicknames for the guns.
Yeah, like those big silver automatics. We always
They're like
them,
Dostoevsky.
We always called them Dostoevskys.
Yeah, right.
And it wasn't because we were making some joke about the Russian author. It was because we saw a bunch of letters and we were like, close enough. And somebody started calling it that. I know the little...
That's how it's done.
That little hog machine gun that's like... That's like got the black top.
The black
on
one?
It. Yeah.
I forgot what we even called it.
We called it a pig. I don't know why. I think it has P and G in the name somewhere.
Yeah, the one that's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's just like, you just better have that and not the claw, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think there was like a part of me that thought as we revisited the game, like that I would have this revelation that it wasn't that the claw was such a bad, inaccurate gun. It was just that I wasn't that good at playing video games. And
but
now
what
that
happened?
But what happened is that if you had the claw, you were better off just dropping it and slapping the hell out of people because it really is the most useless fucking gun
claw
in the history of all video games.
We played a slappers only round where you could only slap each other to death. It was a lot of fun.
I did pretty good. That was a fun one because it was basically just camping near armor and then getting into little slap fights.
Yep.
Yeah, my friend Kevin told me that we should rate everything from the game on a scale of golden gun to clob being the worst, golden gun being the best.
Yeah, like worse than slappers, worse than a knife, worse than anything. Yes, it is.
The throwing knives are better.
The throwing I bet I could kill you faster with a throwing knife than I would take throwing knife versus clob any day. That would be a good deal.
We played a little bit of the campaign too, or we watched Colin play.
Yeah. I first one we played was Statuary or whatever.
Yeah, the Russian
like graveyard for
whatever.
Statues.
Yeah, the statue thing.
Statue.
And then we started playing it, and then I passed it to Matt and he got lost, and then then he passed it to Harris and he got lost. And we had a long discussion about which way was forward and which way was backwards.
Because it all looks the same and it all looks very dark.
Yeah.
Because the game doesn't give you a map. It just gives you sort of a radar that tells you when bad guys are approaching. But there's no sense of direction. So it's very easy to...
And that level has endless bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that level also just sort of has a... It's like a wide open area with some landmarks here and there, but it's very easy to lose your bearings because a lot of the things look the same. Whereas other levels, there are hallways, there are doors, there are sort of, you know, there's a limited amount of places you can go and there's certain paths to get there. That one's just sort of just a big sandbox.
Because it's outdoors too, so it makes it harder.
You know, thrown around. And then when I finally found Valentine to get to the rendezvous, I couldn't resist the temptation to shoot him in the face, which fails the mission.
We were not good at this game.
And it was worth it. But I also forgot how much I was, like, at the time, really impressed by... I remember playing that campaign for the first time, and honestly, I think I played through the whole game really quickly and then never played anything except for the multiplayer again.
I remember to unlock some of the stuff legally, you had to beat the whole campaign on Double O Agent,
right.
Yep. Which I think I did, or at least Secret Agent, but that was really hard.
Yeah. But I remember the first time playing it, being really impressed with how they emulated the cold open of the movie. With, you know, you got to make your way to the dam, jump off, do the bungee thing, then you're in the facility, and
you got to go the whole damn way.
Yeah, you do the whole damn thing. So it's that was always and I just remember being blown away, obviously, by the graphics. I mean, pretty much photorealistic, just like the movie.
Which suck now.
Yeah. That, yeah,
it's a real eye opener.
Yeah, on the TV we played on was is a 4K TV usually.
It was too many Ks. That was just too many Ks for this game.
And yeah, it was way too many Ks.
It was like hurting our eyes to watch those polygons in such sharp quality.
It was a definite. That was a whole specific trip. Just thinking about how mind blowing the graphics were then, and how like horrible they are now.
Yeah, I look at stuff now, and every once in a while I'll play a video game on like the PlayStation 4 or whatever, and I'll be like, how have they come this far and they still can't get hair right? Everyone's hair looks terrible. Mm-hmm. And then I go back and play that game and I'm like, wow, we've come a long way in not that long a time, because it is literally just, you know, there's better stuff that I can put my face onto things on my phone now in seconds that they can't like photo map faces onto polygons in this game effectively.
But it was just still a big playable. Blurry
face. Oh, it definitely. It was fun. That's the one. My biggest takeaway was this game was the bomb back then, and it is still fucking cool.
It still held up. Like we generally had a good time. I thought we would go in there and we'd play it for like a half hour and be like, all right, I gotta go, you know. But I think we could have gone all night if we didn't like realize it was midnight and we had things to do.
Yeah, I think if we had more stuff pre-unlocked, it would have been. We would have.
Yeah. The cheat codes are really hard. You have to like press. Left, up, and then
once
like,
we got the hang of it, we got all of them except for the all character unlock one. That was maybe the one that we tried and failed.
The N64's famously awkward controllers.
Yeah. That doesn't help. So how did you guys perform, do you think?
I remember as a kid being mediocre. Like I would get beat by some people, and then I would like beat like the younger, like my younger brother and people like that. So I also remember struggling with the controller. So I think going into it now, I thought I was going to suck, but I found that I, maybe from having played other games that have utilized the, what do you call it, the joystick thing more, you know, like I found the controls to be easier than I remember them being, and I whooped you guys quite a bit.
You won most of the games, yes.
Yeah.
I think I did okay. I lost the most games.
Yes, definitely. That is true.
Except for Proximity Mines, which I did very well with.
That was
a lot of that was that Matt throws a lot of Proximity Mines.
And you just weren't moving as much, I guess. Yeah. Everyone else is terrified. I was surprised at how much I remembered the layout of the different places, the temple and the basement and everything. And I remembered where all the armor was everywhere.
One thing I remember from being younger is that when someone is camping the body armor, they are usually ostracized in a way that we weren't able to ostracize.
I would just like to point out that I was not camping on the body armor. I was getting into fights, going and hunting you down and murdering you, and then I was returning to the body armor like any sensible person would when they've taken some damage. That's not camping. Camping is when you just sit by the body
armor. Boys, break it up. I'm going to have to take away your video games.
Those are the kind of things that someone who camps the body armor says.
I was actively hunting you down constantly. I think the only other thing that I thought was funny about it was that it you really do get invested in these things. Like it is fun to, because we very rarely have these games anymore where you sit with a bunch of people on the couch and you all sort of play and talk at the same time.
It's a forgotten art.
Yeah, that is like couch-based. Multiplayer gaming is a lost thing, I think, that I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun.
I like couch-based anything.
And also,
I like
point
based
out that,
couch.
That I,
I like based I think, couch.
The two-on-one game was my pride and joy, even though I technically lost it. I was beating you guys 2-1, where I was the lone man for most of that thing, until you got your act together.
Until we figured out your strategy of running and camping over the armor.
Well, yeah. I did have to kill you twice. I did actually have to get some kills there. Actually, I killed you 4 times, but I killed myself twice.
I think I did good when we had grenade launchers. Hated the club. Hate the club so much. I think I was the best at the campaign.
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
But I actually played the campaign long
put
ago.
Put a rocket launcher in my hands, and it's over.
Yeah. Even if you're in a small room,
and
it'll
I figured
kill
out
you.
Where the ammo was for it.
Yeah.
I like that big-ass machine gun. I preferred that. I remember I used to always play with the Baron Samedi. That was what – I think I would have actually won more games if I didn't have to play with Yurimov, and I could have played with Baron Samedi. He's my guy, and he's the intimidation factor there.
I always used to pick him too, though. There would have been arguments.
Yes, probably. Although I would have just gone – if I can't have him, I would have just taken Oddjob, which is the cheat character because he's tiny.
He's smaller.
Yeah.
Which is also bizarre because it's like when they made the game – they, instead of putting Odd Job, like the actual Odd Job in it, who was a huge wrestler, they like put a combination of Odd Job and Tattoo. Not Tattoo. What is the character Jorge Vilches plays? What's his name?
Oh, man.
I can't remember. Anyways, Klaus? He played Tattoo on Fantasy Island. He plays something else.
I'll find
it
soon.
Knick-knack or Tic-Tac?
Oh, Knick-knack.
Oh, yeah.
And they basically just combined those two characters into one and called it Odd Job, which
Knick-knack confirmed.
He is the cheaterest character in the entire game.
Cheaterest.
I mean, you just shouldn't be allowed to play him. And you definitely shouldn't be allowed to play him and then camp on
him. No, that's like a known rule. You aren't allowed to pick him. And everyone who's ever played has that rule.
But if you are forced not to be able to pick the Baron like you want, I think that would have been my...
No, you pick the scientist and you like it.
But I think we felt it necessary to do a whole mini episode on this game because when talking about GoldenEye, I think most people think of this video game. It was such a staple of our childhood and it was a revolutionary game in that it paved the way for a lot of games like Halo and Gears of War and Call of Duty, things like that.
Yeah, it was like the first great first-person shooter, like sensational. For, I mean, they had Doom before that, obviously.
Yeah, but Doom was not a console game, and this was.
Right, and this was like sort of brought it to the masses and did the multiplayer thing, which of course became sort of a landmark staple thing. And is still a really great game to play. It holds up very well.
Cool. Do you have any closing remarks about this game?
I like the sound effects. I wanted him to make a soundtrack of just the sound effects, and then he sent me back a link that was just the sound effects, one after another, played all in a line, and I'm like, yeah, kind of like that. It's like, I'm too busy making the other one.
I've got nothing to add except slappers only, baby.
Oh, yeah. All right, so that's our show, mini episode number 3. And hopefully there'll be more mini episodes soon. We've got some interesting stuff coming up. Keep Bond alive. Peace.